What is up, everyone? Welcome back to the Giants Nation podcast. First of all, I hope everyone's having a wonderful and relaxing Saturday afternoon. I'm watching some college football right now. I'm watching my Buckeyes whipping Western Kentucky's butt. Well, you know, that's what we do. That's what the Buckeyes always do. We always dominate in the regular season. Kyle McCord, this dude is balling out. And obviously, Marvin Harrison Jr., he's balling out as usual. So, I'm having a pretty good day. But, guys, my weekend could be better if my New York Giants win tomorrow, which I'm also expecting when we go to the desert to play those Arizona Cardinals on the road. I'm excited. I'm just excited. I feel like this, you know, like I said a couple days ago, I think this offense is gonna play much better. You know, you got new players who are literally trying to get used to Mike Kafka's scheme. I feel like we'll play much better going into this week. And don't forget, we got some young guys playing. We got some young players on our roster. We got, like I said before, guys, this is still a young team. You know, this Giants team isn't, no one knows what the outcome's gonna be for this Giants team. They're still very young. Joe Shane, he's only in his second year as the new general manager. Brian Daboll, he's only in his second year. It's gonna take time for this Giants team to really play at a high level. But I do believe in these young guys. John Michael Smith, I believe he's gonna ball out. Deontay Banks and Trey Hawkins III, I think they're gonna play better going into this week. But guys, I decided to come on here today because a lot of you guys wanted me to do another mailbag because I've been receiving a lot of interesting questions from you guys. So yeah. I'm gonna be answering all of your wonderful questions, and I hope you guys accept my answers. But without further ado, let's get right into this mailbag. So most of the questions for today, they include Evan Neal and a few other topics. So let's get right into the questions. The mail is here. Let's open the mailbag and see what questions we can answer from a justifiably upset New York Giants fan base. First question is coming from Alan Bachman. Alan, your question is, thinking now that I'm a longtime reader of your podcast, I wrote the comment below with a focus on your piece today, beyond overreaction. What do the Giants do now? I think Valentine a lot. I like Justin a lot. Thank you. Been reading him for years, but this seems to be his MO and that of the cool aid drinkers. They start with obvious hyperbole, fire Joe Shane, fire Brian Daboll, change the name of the Giants to the Tinkerbells, etc. Then they try to say it's okay that the Giants have a talent deficit and lay it on the coaches to work miracles. Then they come back to the personal questions, throw up their hands and say, bottom line is they're aren't a lot of obvious, easy changes the Giants can make. That may be true. It's equally true that when your car is in out of, when your car is in an out of control skid due to bad, bald tires and rainy weather, there aren't a lot of obvious easy changes either. That does not insulate the decision makers. Rather, you've got to think of these things ahead of time. Maybe replace the tires so you don't get into that situation. In terms of the Giants, the clear issue to me was the offensive tackle spot. Sure, you've got to be realistic. You can't say in the last offseason, let's throw out Evan Neal and go get a Pro Bowler for $2 in a Subway coupon. I get that. But would it really be asking for the moon to upgrade the backup offensive tackle? Here's an example. In the next offseason, Cornelius Lucas will be a free agent, though he's 32 years old and has mostly been a backup. He started 35 games in the last 4 years, over 600 snaps per year, and he's mainly graded in the 70s, 68, 75, and 78 in the last 3 years. And here's the key point. He costs $4 million per year. The Giants have $51 million in cap space next offseason. If you want to go get a top free agent to be a starter, hey, more power to you. But it's really asking too much to spend roughly $4 million per year to upgrade the swing off of the tackle. At least that way. We don't need to hear as much of bottom line is there aren't a lot of obvious easy changes the Giants can make. You can give yourself the cap city for choices before it becomes so desperate and a time crunch that you pretend that you don't have any choices. Well, Alan, I appreciate the question. And look it. You're sounding, Alan, no offense, but you're sounding like every other Giants fan out there. Every Giants fan, it's like after one game, every Giants fan wants to give up. Every Giants fan wants to say it's over because everyone thinks this is the same old team that everyone's been witnessing. You know, everyone thinks this is the same old Giants. Everyone thinks that Daniel Jones and Eli Manning, oh, he's a quarterback that sits in the pocket and waits to get sacked. Everyone looks at Brian Daboll like he's another Jason Garrett. Everyone looks at Joe Shane like he's another Dave Gettleman because Joe Shane drafted this kid in Evan Neal. And everyone's saying that could Evan Neal be a bust? And I just don't get it. It's one game. It's one game. Why can't everyone just accept this one game and we can just move on? The season's not over. There's still plenty of games left to be played. This isn't Joe Judge. This isn't Ben McAdoo. This is Brian Daboll. This is a guy who believes in his players. He believes in them. You know, he believes in Daniel Jones. Evan Neal, I understand he struggled. I understand that. But it's only one game. Now, if this trend continues, then absolutely Joe Shane needs to do something about it. And he will. Joe Shane always does something. Whatever happens to the Giants in a bad way, Joe Shane's like the superhero. He saves the day. You know, so it's like, I understand that. But we gotta understand that it's only one game. You know? It's only one game. Week one, you're not gonna look perfect. Every player that starts, they barely have any playing time. You know, starters don't get a lot of playing time in the preseason. You know, so players are going to look rusty and they are going to struggle. You know, so I just don't get it why Giants fans are getting, I don't know why they're worried. When, after one performance, it's one game. The Cincinnati Bengals didn't look good. You know, they didn't look good. The Buffalo Bills didn't look good. every team, to be honest, every team struggled. The Chiefs didn't look good. The only team that didn't look rusty in week one was the Dolphins. That was probably the only team that didn't make any big mistakes. It's week one. You're going to struggle. You know, I understand a lot of people have their concerns. I understand that the Giants haven't had a good offensive line in years. I understand that, but like I said before, this is still a young team. This is still a team that's learning, you know? So, like I said earlier, relax. You know, relax and move on. The season isn't over. This is the problem when it comes to New York fans. We want to win so badly. Like we want to win so bad, even when we lose one game, even when it's in the beginning of the season, we act like it's the end of the world. It's not. It's one game. Look it, Alan. I will bite on trying to answer this. If you understand my MO, you will recognize the answer. And no, I'm not trying to be snarky or condescending. This is what I see as the truth. Do you honestly think Joe Shane, Brian Daboll, and the entire Giants organization don't think about all these, you know, contingencies ahead of time? Brian Daboll and Joe Shane discussed the roster and what they might need to do to improve it almost every day all year long. I have said for years that you can't fix every potential problem. You can't plug every potential hole in a single offseason. The NFL is a league of limitations. There is a hard salary cap that cannot be exceeded. There are a limited number of draft choices available to teams each year. Players with enough accrued service time, have free agency at their disposal. So they can choose to go where they can make more money, believe they have a better opportunity to play, or both. You have to make choices. There is only so much money to spend. The Giants prioritize their own core. Many of the players who helped them make the playoffs last season, Daniel Jones, Dexter Lawrence, Andrew Thomas, and yes, Saquon Barkley. They prioritize adding playmakers to a team that was last in the league in explosive plays a year ago. They prioritize using resources to bulk up a run defense that was atrocious a year ago. They went out and got Wink Martindale, something they couldn't something they couldn't get him a year ago. Two young man-to-man cornerbacks who fit his defensive system. Joe Shane has used first, second, third, and fifth round picks on the offensive line in two drafts. I think he understands that it is a priority. He spent free agent money on Mark Lewinsky. Sure, he might have liked to go after a higher tier player at the position, but he worked with the money he had available. Maybe they would have liked to sign or draft another swing tackle. They had to make choices, though. You know, they had to make choices. And there is always an opportunity cost when you make a choice. Purchase or draft one thing. You can't purchase or draft something else. You know, the Giants don't, look at, the Giants didn't ignore a position. They looked at what they had and made a choice. They felt Matt Peart could do the job as a swing tackle, and maybe he can. They thought Tyree Phillips would be part of the roster, but they went through training camp and decided to move on. They believe Joshua Azudu can play all across the line. And Sunday against the Cardinals, he might get a chance to prove them right or wrong. They are still high on Marcus McKeithen's future. Besides, Alan, you are complaining about what they have on the roster now and the decisions they have made with limited cap and draft resources, while speculating about what they could or should do when they are likely to have more cap flexibility next offseason. That's not really fair. You know, ask yourself this, and I want every Giants fan to ask themselves this as well. What backup swing tackle would you have had the Giants sign or draft? And which player they acquired would you have sacrificed to make that happen? What I'm trying to say is this. It's not easy to find talent at the most important positions. It's not easy to find quarterbacks. It's not easy to find another quarterback. It's not easy to find another center. It's not easy. It's not easy to find wide receivers. You know? It's hard. But we don't control how the Giants run everything. Joe Shane controls it. I mean, can't you guys just relax and just believe in Joe Shane? Joe Shane, in his first year, when the Giants were a mess, he clearly built a roster that was good enough to take the Giants to the playoffs. And the Giants had a mediocre team. They weren't as good. And everyone wants to make an argument, oh, they beat a bad Vikings team. What do you mean? The Vikings had more talent on their... They had way more talent on their offense. And I understand their defense wasn't good. But we beat a Vikings team that had Justin Jefferson, Dalvin Cook, KJ Osborne, Adam Thielen. They had weapons. I dare anyone to say that they would take Darius Slayton over Justin Jefferson. You wouldn't. You'll take Justin Jefferson. That's all I'm saying. I think we're just overreacting because everyone thinks this is everyone. I'll cut everyone a break. Maybe everyone had flashbacks. Maybe everyone thought that this was the same New York Giants from 2020. Because I did. I had those same flashbacks. And I didn't like them. Trust me. I didn't like them. But this isn't Dave Gettleman. This isn't Joe Judge. We just need to relax and move on. That's all I'm saying. Relax and move on. All right, next question. Ladies and gentlemen, we have reached the Evan Neal portion of the program as well, or the mailbag. So here's the Evan Neal questions. First question's coming from William Utter. William, your question is, why don't they slide Neal to guard? Back in the day, that is where tackles started to get better. Pert and Neal, maybe. Listen up. First of all, I appreciate the question. Second of all, look. One thing I do have to acknowledge about Evan Neal, I believe Filato is likely correct in his analysis that Evan Neal might not be as athletic as we all thought coming out of Alabama. His footwork, his balance, his ability to redirect, he doesn't look like a player who is a smooth athlete. I mean, this was basically the same assessment as Ereck Flowers. I remember watching Ereck Flowers go through the offensive line drills at the NFL Draft Combine, and he kept tripping over his own feet. And I thought to myself, how does anyone think this guy is going to hold up at the tackle position in the NFL? Let alone see him as a first round pick. You know, so let me ask you this question. Do you think maybe Alabama players get a little overvalued? Maybe try moving Neal to guard like other teams did with Flowers? Thoughts? I appreciate it. And next question. I got three questions. That whole big question was from William Utter. The second question I literally just read. So the first question I read, so the first question from William was, why don't they slide nil to guard? Back in the day, that is where tackles started to get better, Pert and nil maybe. So that question was from William Utter. The second question from David Wright. David, you were asking, you wrote this blurb in today's piece. One thing I do have to acknowledge about Neil, I believe Falau was likely correct in his analysis that Neil might not be as athletic as we thought coming out of Alabama. His footwork, balance, and ability to redirect don't look like a player who is a smooth athlete. This was basically the same assessment as Eric Flowers. I remember watching Flowers go through the offensive line drills at the draft combine, and he kept tripping over his own feet. And I thought to myself, how does anyone think this guy is going to hold up at the tackle position in the NFL, let alone see him as a first round pick? Do you think maybe Alabama players get a little overvalued? Maybe try moving Neil to guard like other teams did with Flowers? Thoughts? And another, two more questions. The third question is coming from Jerry Hand. Jerry, your question is, Justin, with the problem that Evan Neal has with the speed rushers, do you think they would be able to move him inside a guard and the Giants find another tackle in free agency next year or possibly the draft? He seems to have too much potential to throw and towel on him. And last question about Evan Neal is coming from Ronald B. Ronald, your question is, Justin, you and many others have described Evan Neal as an athletic guy with a lot of potential. Could you please explain why you thought he was athletic? Do you think he has good foot speed or agility? If so, was that based on the combine results or on your observations on the field? And of course, the inevitable question, do you now think he should switch inside a guard? Well, first of all, I appreciate all those questions about Evan Neal. A lot of Evan Neal questions this week, which was predictable. I'm gonna try to break it down and answer as many facets of the various questions as I can. Hopefully I cover most, if not all, of the ground asked about. I wanna talk about the guard question. This is obviously about the guard question, about Evan Neal. Evan Neal and the guard question. Look, I understand this question. I really do. My answer, though, is going to be the same as it was last season and during the offseason leading up to this season. I don't think I said it on my podcast, though. It's not time yet. You know, I understand a lot of Giants fans are upset about Evan Neal's performance. Like I said, it's only week one, you know. There are players that play the same position as Evan Neal, who I think are better for now. They struggle. You know? Evan Neal, I'm not looking. You guys know me. I'm the type of person that's going to give players opportunities to show what they can do. You know? And it's only week one. It's only one game. I think we should all relax. You know, now this trend continues, let's say around week four, then yeah, obviously the Giants have to do something with Evan Neal, and I think Joe Shane will. You know, I don't think Joe Shane's gonna sit back and relax and just let Evan Neal continue to struggle. But it's crazy though, because this is a guy Joe Shane drafted, you know, and if Joe Shane, if he somehow decides to move Evan Neal, if he continues to struggle, then Evan Neal was a clear bust, you know, and I don't want to say that about the guy. I see a lot of potential in this kid, you know. I want to see the Evan Neal that mauled opposing defensive players and literally threw them around like they're rag dolls. You know, I want to see that Evan Neal. And I haven't seen that, you know? Do I still believe in him? I obviously do. You know, it's only one game. I have a great feeling Evan Neal's gonna bounce back tomorrow, you know, and I think he's gonna play at a high level. But look, My answer is going to be the same as it was last season and during the offseason leading up to this season. It's not time yet. Now, the Giants drafted this kid number 7 overall because they believed he could be the team's right tackle for the next several years. One awful game into his second season isn't time to give up yet. Now, like I said, if the type of play he exhibited on Sunday against the Cowboys becomes the norm, or if it just becomes obvious that he isn't up to handling the job on the outside, then I do think a move to guard could be possible. When? I honestly don't think that would happen until next season, to be honest with you. Maybe the second half of this season if things are really bad. But to be fair to the young man, you actually have to give him a real opportunity to practice inside so that he has a chance to perform there. Look at, I believe the Giants would like to give Evan Neal, I believe the Giants would like to give him this season unless it simply becomes untenable. I'm not giving up on the idea that Evan Neal can take steps forward this season after one game. Here's my other thoughts about the whole Evan Neal situation. I don't necessarily believe Alabama players get overvalued. I do believe Evan Neal doesn't move as smoothly and efficiently as we all thought he might. Now, if you're going to ask me, can constant work with his revised technique improve or overcome that? Maybe. You know? But to trash the kid after one game, I think it's just ridiculous. You know, it's one game. You know, I believe Evan Neal will fix his mistake. And I feel like he's gonna. I feel like we're gonna see the Evan Neal that we all saw coming out of college. Yeah. That's my answer for all those questions. Appreciate the questions though. Next question's coming from Nick M. Nick, your question is, first time asking a question but long time reader, okay? Big fan. I appreciate you being a big time, listening to my podcast. Nick, your question is, after Sunday's awful performance by the team, especially the offensive line, are there really no free agent offensive linemen out there that would be considered upgrades? I know Reisner, Norwell, and Lawan are still available. Would like to hear your thoughts on these players or any others that would be worth pursuing for the Giants. Nick, I appreciate the questions. And second of all, here's my answer. Look, I think there are a few players out there who are interesting, but none are quick fixes. All are flawed. And there are reasons why the season is in week 2 and these players do not have jobs. Understand this. Understand that half to two-thirds of the teams in the league would love to find offensive line upgrades. It's not a Giants-specific issue. You know, look at the player Giants fans talk about most is ex-Giant Justin Pugh. On paper, look at Justin Pugh has probably been a better player than Mark Glowinski, you know, throughout his career. Question is, how well can Justin Pugh play right now? Remember, he's 33 years old, coming off a major knee injury, and admitted, you know, according to some reports that he recently, you know, he's admitted that if and when he signs somewhere, he will need to ramp up for a few weeks before he is game ready. Lyle Collins got released by the Cincinnati Bengals this week. He's been a good player in the league as a right tackle, and fans are curious. Thing is, though, he had a torn ACL last year and was released from the PUP list, which means he hasn't been healthy, and there has to be a question of when he would be ready to play. Plus, if you look at the data, he wasn't good last year. Dalton Reisner and Andrew Norwell have been good players in a league where there are a lot of bad offensive linemen. I'd ask, why are these guys jobless with the season going on? Is it money? Is it that guys want specific opportunities if they are going to play? I don't know the answer to that. It's possible one of these guys would be an upgrade. Again, though, even if you bring one of them in a... I would say Innett would likely be a few weeks before he would be ready to play. So look, there are no quick fixes from the outside. I do think though, I think the Giants would try their young players first. You know? So that's all I gotta say, but appreciate the question, Nick. Next question's coming from Seth W. Seth, your question is, yes, every aspect of the Giants game against the Cowboys was pathetic, but what eats at me is that the offensive line has now been bad for more than a decade, regardless of either guys have been drafted or signed as free agents. The line has been porous. So my question is this, is it more difficult to evaluate offensive linemen than other positions? All right. Okay. Seth, that's a really good question. And second of all, I'm going to see if I can give you an answer. Look, Seth, I think quarterback is the most difficult position to evaluate at the college level. I mean, look at how many teams missed on highly drafted quarterbacks, more than actually hit, to be honest. There are a ton of factors. I mean, the college game is different, and it's not easy for NFL teams to see things they are going to want an offensive lineman to do. A lot of these guys never play in a three-point stance, and some hardly do any run blocking. You know, Nick Filato, you know, he said something that was very interesting. You know, it was more of an opinion than a prediction. You know, he said this. I wouldn't say it's more difficult to evaluate offensive linemen, but offensive linemen are just more difficult to find. It's unnatural, especially in pass protection. You're moving backward against an insane athlete running at you with momentum. You know, those words were from Nick Filato, and Chris Flum, who has done.
I'm doing my podcast.
Yeah. I'll talk to you after I'm done. Sorry, guys. Family. That's all. But, like I was saying, Chris Flum, who has done a pre-draft scouting report for years, said this. I think my best answer is probably yes and no. On the one hand, there is uncertainty and projection at every position. And let's be real, quarterback is definitely the hardest since it's the most complicated position. But also there's a pretty big jump in the level of competition from college to the NFL that puts deficiency on display and can make early development rocky, you know? All I'm trying to say is this. College linemen only see the types of pass rushers they'll see at the NFL level once or twice a season in school. And even in a really strong year for pass rushers, they're scattered around the various conferences. But the NFL is made up of the top 1% of college players. So not only are young linemen seeing elite pass rushing athletes every week, the pass rushers they see are able to concentrate on football and really hone their craft. The difference in athleticism and more, polished technique can put any deficiencies in a lineman's game on stark display. They can't really, compensate by just being bigger, stronger, or on a better team than the other guy. And defenses are getting pretty good at isolating and exploiting issues in their game. That's not even counting the importance chemistry within the offensive line and five players being able to function as one unit. You know, so, you know, while offensive linemen might not be the most difficult position group to scout, this is from Nick Filato, it's definitely one of the harder ones. The players are always at an athletic disadvantage in the NFL, and defenses are getting better and better at isolating and attacking weaknesses. Size and athleticism are great traits to have, but they need to enable good technique. It was probably easier to hit on linemen years ago when teams only had one really good pass rusher. So, look at, I mean, they weren't running. They look at, I mean, defensive players weren't running four point. Defensive players weren't running four fives, 4.5 second 40s, and defenses weren't quite as creative in their defensive scheme. Now, when you look at defensive players now, scouting and developing young linemen is definitely tough. You know, so my final thought to your question is that when you are scouting college players, there is always projection involved. What do you think the player can become? Like, what flaws does he have, and are they things that can be improved or worked around? Sometimes players just don't develop the way you think they will. That's all I gotta say. You know, I hope my answer was good enough. I hope my response to your question was something that you're looking for. But yeah, but that's all I gotta say. I appreciate the question. That was a really good question. Next question is coming from Edwin Gomers. Edwin, your question is, what's going on with McKinney? The contract extension for Andrew Thomas came probably somewhat early, but maybe not completely unexpected given the Giants' need for cap. Based on the draft order, McKinney was probably next. However, Joshen keeps holding off on it. Yeah, on the other hand, he went out and signed Graham Gano to a new contract. The Giants signing Daniel Jones to a contract that was above Derek Carr's and Geno Smith's. Signal something to Saquon Barkley. What signal does extending Graham Gano but holding off on McKinney give to McKinney? Are they still holding the ATV accident over him, or is there more brewing? Ed, I appreciate the question. Look, Joe Shane has been clear that he's not negotiating an extension with Xavier McKinney during the season. They will discuss a new contract with Xavier McKinney at the end of the season. I honestly wonder if they will do so at all. You know, I have addressed this before, you know, not on my podcast, off air. You know, and when I mean off air, I mean off the podcast. In three seasons, look, Xavier McKinney has had one good, healthy year. He really wasn't doing anything out of the ordinary last season before the ATV accident, and one good season out of three does not get you an extension. The Giants won't say it, but I absolutely believe the ATV accident caused the Giants to lose some trust in Xavier McKinney. Look, say what you want. Look, I love the kid. I like Xavier McKinney. I liked him coming out of college, you know. But that was a self-inflicted injury that happened because he put his desire to go have fun and see the world ahead, but making certain he stayed healthy and available to do his job. You know, look, the Giants, I think rightly, want to see this kid. I think they want to see what this kid does this year before deciding either to be tied to him long term. Obviously, he needs to prove he deserves it. You know, so that's all I got to say. And yeah, that's all I got to say about that. But yeah, I appreciate all of your wonderful questions, ladies and gentlemen. But yeah, so far that's all I have. Those are all the questions for today, and I hope everyone enjoyed my answers or my responses. But yeah, so far that's all I have for you guys today. Hope you guys enjoyed this one of the Giants Nation podcast. I will keep you guys updated though, for more news or updates about the Giants, or more, you know, if there's any more lists I can think of, I'll let you guys know about that as well. Or if there's any questions or comments you guys have for me, you guys already know what to do. But until then, guys, I'm out. Peace.